Thank you, Dave. Thank you, everybody. That's really lovely of you. Would you like some good news stories to start with? Well, how about from our community? A good news story that we have 65 people from the Larchfield community signed up to come to the Larchfield Open Table this Tuesday. How fantastic is that? Where they're going to, courtesy of Linda and her team, the fantastic, amazing Linda Crew, who I did spot earlier on, they're going to be treated to a Christmas party, some singing Santas, because that's what we do, and a Christmas message. So isn't that fantastic? And that's a continuation of what's been going on in that community. I think that's just really brilliant. Another good news story from the community, Colin mentioned about the meeting that the church leaders were going to have with the Director of Children's Services in Maidenhead, and I went along to that with Colin, and we had that meeting. And the good news is she's an amazing lady who really wants to work with the churches in Maidenhead to reach out to children in need in our borough. And she's actively going to look for ways to work with us. No suspicion about churches. It was excellent. So that is such good news for our community. Good work in our church. Good news in our church. Mark and Ruth Middleton have stepped forward to come and support what's going on in Edge in Maidenhead. That is absolutely awesome. Sam and Beth are doing a fabulous job. Beth has come on board this year and is just bringing amazing stuff. And Mark and Ruth want to support her and Sam, and that is just really great news. More really great news, we got back the results of the Reveals survey. Now then, I show you this, people, to say, please be gracious with us. Can you give us time to work our way through that? We are meeting and talking and discussing. There's some really, really great stuff in it for us as a congregation. And we are so much looking forward to seeing what God's going to do amongst us. But just bear with us. Good news stories individually. Anne Kingston, would you like to stand up for us, please? Now, a number of you will not know what that means, but Anne has been bent over walking with sticks for months and months and months. And Anne went to the healing rooms, the healing conference that we publicised last week, and was prayed for. And that is pretty amazing. Thank you, Lord. That's what God wants to do. He wants to meet us in our communities. He wants to meet us in our church. He wants to meet us individually. He is a good God. And if you think he's only interested in big things like that, he's interested in small things. I spent some time with a lady a couple of weeks ago who had suffered all her life with migraines. She'd had one for 8 weeks solid. She did not know what to do with herself. And I prayed with her, and Jesus met her. And the next day it began to subside, and it's gone. So God wants to work in our lives. He wants us to. He is such a good God. He is at work, which is why we want to begin to look at this. Graham, can I have my first slide, please? This is our new series called Living Out Our Faith. And no, that's definitely not living out our faith. Not at the moment, anyway. And I'm really excited about this. This is going to be a really wide-ranging series. We're going to cover lots of different things in lots of different ways. This week, I'm kicking it off, and I'm going to be laying a foundation for what's to come in the weeks up to Christmas and beyond Christmas. So I am going to be kind of skating over some things really rapidly. In fact, what I'm going to be doing this morning is opening a lot of boxes and not really looking in many of them, which is really frustrating because I've wanted to, but I've had to keep myself under wraps. So we're going to go through and we're going to be looking out at living out our faith, a foundation. This is a really vital topic for us. My mum has a beautiful ring. It's got a massive aquamarine stone in it. It's surrounded by diamonds and it's set in platinum. It's her engagement ring that my dad gave to her 50 plus years ago. And she never, ever wears it. She gets it out on really special occasions, like family weddings and things like that. But she never really wears it because she's frightened of it getting damaged or broken. And all my childhood, I used to look at this beautiful thing and wonder why she didn't enjoy it. Why she didn't have it on and enjoy it. Why she didn't let other people enjoy seeing it. Actually, my dad had given it to her. It was really costly. And I always used to feel a bit sorry for him that actually he'd given her this beautiful thing. And it was almost a little bit like she didn't appreciate it, although I know that she did. And actually, as I thought about this topic, our faith is like that treasure. And are we going to keep it under wraps and only bring it out on the really special occasions, like when something tragic has happened in our lives and we've really got to get a hold of it? Or are we going to have it out there all the time, wearing it, using it, enjoying it for ourselves, allowing other people to see it and enjoy it and see how special it is and be drawn to it? And also giving God, as the giver of our faith, pleasure in seeing us take what he's given to us and really enjoy it and live it to the full. So for me, that's quite a lot of what this is about, living out our faith. And Jesus said, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What good is it for us to have lives full of all the stuff of this life and yet never live in the fullness and the wonder of our faith life with God?" So this morning, I want to ask, I want to ask, what on earth does it mean to live out our faith? And I wonder, when I say that to you, living out our faith, what do you immediately think of? So I'm going to give you 2 minutes to talk to the person next to you. If you're sitting somewhere and the person next to you doesn't talk to you, don't be offended. They just want a little quiet time. But grab the person next to you. You've got 2 minutes. What do you think of when I say living out our faith? Go. How are we doing? Have we got some ideas going? Who'd like to give me some suggestions? When I say living out our faith, what do you think of? Hands up. Who'd like to give me a suggestion? Don't be shy. You were all talking. Living out our faith. Give me a suggestion. Just an idea. Ruth? Evangelism. Yeah. Okay, so he lived out his faith by trusting God and stepping out in obedience. Very good, obedience. Anybody else? Mission? Andrew? Taking risks, living out our faith, taking risks, Joanna? Doing what you see the Father doing. Laura? Living out our faith within relationships. John? Companionship, Anne? Yeah, so for Anne, this week, living out her faith has been telling her neighbour what God has done for her in healing her. Fantastic. Stella? Living the way God wants you to. Simon? Seeing people with God's eyes. Seeing people with God's eyes. Desi? Living out the gifts that God's placed upon us all. Richard, last one. Serving everyone we meet. Living out our faith. Go on, Andrew, last one. Light in dark places. So, living out our faith, and that you can see already, and that was just a few answers. This is pretty wide-ranging, isn't it? And it's interesting, the first answer we got was evangelism. And isn't it easy when we talk about living out our faith, immediately we go to that kind of a thing, and immediately we go to having to talk about our faith, needing to answer questions people might ask us, going past somebody and there's somebody with a need and you really know you ought to pray for them, but really you don't really know if you want to. I don't actually think that's our starting point in this series. Living out our faith, for me, in gathering those together, is about pouring out the genuine love and power of Jesus that is in us. And that's what has a lasting impact on people's lives. So I think, actually, as we're talking about living out our faith, we need to start looking in as well as looking out. Now, I did a quick run through because I didn't know if anybody was going to say anything. So I quickly put together some suggestions, which the sort of sequence of which will maybe give you an idea of what I've just been saying. So living out our faith, for me, it starts with me and God, my personal walk with God. How do I do God on my own? What are my personal spiritual practices? How am I living out time with God, intimacy with God, worship? Am I giving him full access to my heart? Am I ready to say yes to whatever he wants to do in me, as well as living that out through me? Matthew tells us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is living out our faith as well. Our attitude to life, our beliefs, our values, our attitudes, our morals. Ephesians 5 tells us, walk as children of the light in all goodness, righteousness and truth. And you know, those two together, me and God and my approach to life, they're so important because we know, we're told in the Bible, for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. So if we're going to be living out our faith in all these other areas, it's coming out of what fills our heart. What's inside does come out. And you can move on then to our behaviour. Ephesians 5 tells us to be imitators of God and walk in love. And in fact, the second half of the book of Ephesians is just an excellent instruction manual on how to practically live out our faith in our behaviour. How do we make our decisions? Do we make godly decisions or do we make worldly decisions? In crisis, nobody mentioned that. But how do we live out our faith in our own crises, and how do we do that for other people? Whether that's illness or tragedy, difficulties in life. Proverbs tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. How do we do that? How do we live that out? At home, at church, at work. How do we parent, be married, relate to the body of Christ? How are we employed? How do we be little Christs? Because that's what the word Christian means, to be a little Christ. As we live out our faith, how do we actually do that out there? Here's the one you're wondering about, talking about our faith. Romans says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. We know that's true in our hearts because that's why a lot of us are sitting here. So talking about our faith is part of living it out. Serving the community, the poor, you know, the hampers that we're doing, the Larchford Open Table, all the ways we're getting involved in our community. We're going to talk about the homeless shelter a little later. And last one is not coming up, Graham. Last click. Mission. Yes, there you go. May put a smile on Dave's face. Go and make disciples of all the nations. Living out our faith covers every aspect of our lives, our inward stuff and our outward stuff. So if we're going to live out our faith, what is our faith? We're going to live it out. What is it? Now, it's huge, isn't it? That's a really broad thing to talk about. I just wanted to start at one point. Next slide, please, Graham. I liked this. Christianity is a person. I have a friend. He's really good, and you should meet him. We need to have a faith to start with, don't we, in order to be able to live it out. Our faith is about an ongoing relationship with the Lord, not just a dry set of theological beliefs that we have, no matter how firmly we hold them. It's about knowing him for ourselves, with us, in us, for us, full of love and goodness, and walking every day in the peace and joy of that. Do we have that? Everybody here in the room today, do you know Jesus as your friend, as your Lord, as the one who has rescued you and who continues to rescue you? You might have been in church for a long time or a short time, but have you actually taken that step into that relationship? And I just believe that living out our faith is about taking who we are and all that we have in our relationship with God and letting that flow through into our everyday lives in a real way. Actually, that what we become is authentic people of integrity. I liked that phrase. Authentic people of integrity. Who we are and what we believe on the inside is what we are on the outside in our daily lives. So, of course, we have to know who we are on the inside, don't we? Back to where we were. And that's why we just did our identity series with Ruth and Chris speaking. And, you know, they talked about a lot of things that we were, didn't they? And my testimony, honestly, is that it's been that fundamental change in me understanding who I am that has caused me to live out my faith differently and definitely without fear. And I'd just like to challenge you as we go through this series to maybe listen to those talks again of Ruth's, to really spend some time with God and say, you know, Lord, really rework me in the inside, who I am, because that will change the way we behave. And then I was thinking, well, living out our faith, that's all very well. Graham, can I have the next one? This always dies on me. What does living out mean? What does living out mean? Graham, next one. It means to live your life, to conduct yourself. And again, Graham, thank you. To arrange your habits. I thought that was interesting because that's like a kind of a habitual. That's not like a kind of one-off decision. And again, to put into practice principles. Now, that is founded on our beliefs. So just talking about our identity, but now that's about our beliefs, isn't it? That living out thing. What do we believe? Is it really real to us? Do we really believe it enough to stake our lives on it? That is the question for us. And, you know, I truly believe that we should be the most content, the most peaceful, the most joyful, the most hopeful, the most powerful people that there are anywhere. What the Bible tells us that we have wrapped up in our faith, in our relationship with the Lord, the access we have to all of his resources, all of his grace, forgiveness and love, what can we possibly lack that matters? How can we actually, even in really bad times, go into any situation and be hopeless? We were just talking about hope with communion. How can we be in any difficulty and not know that we are held by him? And that we have the joy of the most incredible relationship the world or anything could offer us. There are two other meanings for living out our faith. To enjoy life immensely, to live it to the full. So as we live out our faith, we're enjoying life. We're living it to the full. And I do remember Jesus said something about that, didn't he? I think he said he came to give us life in all its fullness. Part of that is living out the faith that he's given us. And the final one, to fulfill. We live out our faith. As we do that, we are fulfilling all that God has put within us. And what could be better than to be people who live fulfilled lives? God intends us to enjoy our lives to the full. I've actually told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because it fits really well here. About a family, hundreds of years ago who were emigrating to the United States to get a better life for themselves. They were very poor and they wanted to escape what they were in and get to the US because that was going to be the place where there was going to be a better life. They saved and saved. They sold everything they had to scrape together the cost of the ticket. They did everything they could then to gather together enough food to get them through the journey, which was going to be long. They got on board, yes, off to their new life, and they hunkered down in their cabin for the voyage. They could hear around them all the sounds of the other people on board enjoying themselves, and they could smell the delicious food being cooked in the kitchen for the other passengers. But, you know, they were just grateful to be on board in their cabin with their supplies. The voyage went on. The ship ran into trouble. It took a lot longer than expected. They ran out of food. After a week, they were starving in their cabin. And the father thought, I cannot stay here and watch my children starve. I am going to have to go out and get them food. So with fear and trembling, he went out of the cabin. He approached a member of staff and said, please, can I just have the scraps of food that are left over for my family? And the member of staff said, what are you talking about? Your ticket included all your food for the voyage. The family had been on board all that time and had never taken full advantage of everything they were entitled to. How much more pleasurable could their voyage have been if they had only taken advantage, if they had only realised what was available to them? I wonder what's included in our ticket to enjoy that we don't take full advantage of. What aspects of our faith do we not get hold of and enjoy living out to the full? What aspects of our faith do we do without, either because we think we can't have them or we don't realise we can have them, and therefore our lives are just not as fulfilled as they could be? I know that I often don't live life to the full because my beliefs haven't made it from the pages of my Bible or from my brain into my heart and my spirit and become a reality in me. So when we come to share out our faith, the dreaded evangelism word, it's a struggle, isn't it? What are we passionate about? What do we have within us, living within us, that we can share if we haven't truly believed it and experienced it for ourselves? And I think that's often what makes sharing our faith so hard. You know, guys, we need to know what we believe, the importance of our spiritual beliefs. And if we've been in church for a long time, they're sort of in the ether, aren't they? And they're not actually even necessarily things we have looked at ourselves and really got hold of and taken into us. Where do we get what we believe? We get them from our Bibles, first and foremost. If you're somebody here today who's just exploring who Jesus is, or you're just starting to grow in your faith, your Bible is the place to go to. If you've been here a while, if you've been growing in Christ for a long time, if you're a really Christ-centered person, actually, like I just said, our beliefs can be what we've just sort of picked up. They're just kind of what we know about, instead of being something that's really clear within us. It's really important that we're reading our Bibles. Really important that we're letting the Word of God speak to us and change us, mold our beliefs. We encounter God in the pages of our Bibles. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We have to know what those commandments are to be able to keep them, to be able to love him fully. It's lovely, isn't it? This was just intended to show you that whilst our behaviour is on the outside of us, underneath that is a layer of our beliefs. Under that is the layer of our identity. So what I've just been saying to you, there's those three levels within us. And we can speak to our behaviour. We can think, oh, Colin's going out doing evangelism, therefore I ought to go and join him. But actually, unless that's a part of our belief system springing out of our identity, that's really hard to do. So if we just take a halt there and we breathe. If we're going to talk about living out our faith, what things would you like us to talk about? Shout them out. What things would you like us to look at as we go through this? We've got some ideas. We wondered if you had any. What would you like? Next week we've got Julian coming to talk on living out our faith in the workplace. What other ideas? Any particular ones? Over here? Neighbours, living out our faith in our neighbourhoods. Healing, living out our faith with healing. Okay, yeah. It's that dreaded one, isn't it? You're in this place and all these people are talking about these things and you don't agree. What do you do? How do you handle that? Yeah. How do you stay in a place of peace yourselves? Any other things? John. Yeah, in the workplace. How do we deal with the challenges within our workplace, Miranda? Yeah, that's a really good one. What are the strongholds? What are the things that hold us back in living out our faith? That's excellent. Joanna? Hearing God. That's a good one. Yeah, how do we live out our faith? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, day-to-day stuff. How do we day-to-day do our lives in living out our faith? Well, if you think of more, let us know as we go along. We want this to be practical and to speak to what people want to hear. So let us know. Like I said, next week we've got Julian bringing living out our faith in the workplace, and we will move on from there. Just quickly, why bother? Why do we bother living out our faith? I've got, really quickly, because we're running out of time, two scriptures I want to bring to you. This one that I love, and I could spend the whole morning talking about this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I think we bother because Christ is in us. He lives within us. And it's a bit like my mum's engagement ring. He's in us. Why do we not want to show him? Why do we not want to show how great he is? We read how he walked the earth and the amazing things he did. If he's in us, he wants to do those same things today. So that's one really good reason to bother. And the hope of glory, that's what we are, and he is. The hope of glory for this world. We carry it. One of Ruth's points in her Living Out Identity series was that we're the touch point of heaven and earth. That's why we need to bother living out our faith. And the second one I just bring, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And that word worthy I looked up, and it means adequate or suitable to the dignity of something. Walk in a manner that is suitable to the dignity of the Lord. We have a great God who is awesome and mighty and powerful and amazing and loving and gracious. Why would we not want to walk in a manner worthy of that? That's the call on our lives, and actually that's our worship to him on a daily basis, living out our faith. And just as I close, I want to suggest something to you. I just want to talk to you very quickly about grace, because the grace of God is the core of all we are, who we've become, the future we have, and the goodness that we experience in the here and now. And what is that grace? Well, we participated in that grace this morning in communion. Jesus bled and died on the cross to open the doors of the kingdom of God wide enough for every single one of us to enter in and have a full and loving relationship with our Father God. The good amongst us, the not so good amongst us, and frankly the pretty bad amongst us. Everybody is invited. Everybody gets in the same way, through faith alone. Everybody can meet the requirement because there's no standard to reach, there are no rules to follow, and there's no exam to pass. Grace is entirely free for every single one of us here. It is God giving us everything of himself, despite the fact we haven't earned it and we don't deserve it. Grace was costly, but it wasn't costly to us. It was the sacrificial death of Jesus that we celebrated earlier on that meant God could make his kingdom life available to you and me, starting right now. Now, we need to know that. We need to live in the truth of that, or else we're always under the world's lies about needing to perform or earn God's love or not being quite good enough and failing to live these lives that God's opened up for us. But do you know something? The world needs to hear about that grace even more. They need to see it worked out in our lives, transparently, visibly, tangibly. They need to see the grace of God transform our sicknesses, our crises, our impossibilities, so that it transforms theirs, their sicknesses, their difficulties, their crises. Their impossibilities need to be changed with the deep grace of God. I've been reading this book, Andy Stanley, The Grace of God, which I really recommend, and he says this: the church has been assigned the task of exposing our neighbourhoods, our communities, our towns, cities, counties, and the world to the grace of God. This is our mission. This is our responsibility. There's no plan B. We are it. So people, our mission every day is to live out our faith in every way that we possibly can, in the quiet places of our own hearts, in our families, in the public places of our job or community or our friendships. We need to be people who know our God, believe his goodness, are filled with his truth, and just go out and transform the world around us simply because of his amazing grace over us. This local church is the hope of the world. The question is, will we be a part of that by living out our faith? Now, that's been a fairly whirlwind tour of a lot of stuff, and I've opened a lot of boxes. But there are some things that you could take away moving forwards. Just whip them up there, Graham. I've just put up there, get serious. Get serious with God. Let this series be something where you commit to meet God in your identity, in your beliefs. Let him challenge you week on week. Get to know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, get to know him. Do Alpha. Come and talk to us. Read things that we can recommend. I mentioned the identity talks. That identity in the core of us is so important. Go back to those talks on the website that Ruth did. And read Ephesians, the first part of Ephesians. That's who we are in Christ. Our beliefs, they're so important. I would recommend every one of us does the Freedom in Christ course, the Grace course, no matter how long we've been a Christian. That thing of absorbing stuff and thinking that we're fine as Christians because we've been around for ages. No, we need to cut through that to the real truth and build those beliefs in us. See you, Elaine. Read The Grace of God. Tony and Claire are at the back with a bookshop and they can get this book for you. So go and order it and read it today. And if you want some notes of my talk, there are notes here. If you want to take them away, look at some of the scriptures, chew it over, and really allow God to work with you. And I want to give you a practical opportunity to live out our faith now. In my email that I sent out in the weekly news, I mentioned the Maidenhead Homeless Shelter, that churches together in Maidenhead have joined together to get up and running this winter. It's going to be a cold, hard winter. It's going to be even colder and harder if you are homeless and on the streets of Maidenhead. And what we'd like to do is open a shelter operating between January and March. There are already premises available. We'd like to have sufficient funds to be able to staff that and equip it and give people meals. And I'd love us to be able to buy into that. There is a practical way of living out our faith. We believe in a God who loves us and provides for us. Let's love and provide for people in our town who don't have homes this Christmas. It's not acceptable, is it, that there could be people in our town sleeping on the streets this winter? So what we're going to do is we're going to take up our offering. I actually went on Google Images looking at homeless to get an image for this. And actually, by the end of it, I was brokenhearted. The images of people sleeping on streets, you know, it just gets you. And Jesus said this, didn't he? Whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. So if you're able to this morning, we're just going to take up an offering. I'm going to play a song. And what we're going to do is I'm going to ask the welcome team to send round the baskets. Please use it to give your normal offering to River Church as well. But if you would like to give over and above that into this project, it's being headed up by the Methodist Church, High Street Methodist Church. And I will forward the money to them. Put the money in an envelope, the little white envelopes, and mark on it Maidenhead Homeless Shelter. And then I will ensure that money gets to them next week. And we're also going to give a donation from our Vision Fund to support that as a church. So, guys, that's it. That's been a whoosh through living out our faith. And we'll begin to unpack that in the weeks that come. But, Simon, if I can ask you to play the track. And, guys, if you could pass the baskets around and just let this be one of those moments with God. If you're a guest, please feel free for the basket to go past.
At the foot of the cross.